Interested in ghosts? UFOs? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. Visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free, and we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind.
I say, Sean B., I've been thinking about all the things necessary to produce a proper paranormal broadcast.
Do tell, Nathan S., what are these vital qualities?
Empathy, commitment, quiet dignity, and self-respect.
Indeed. What a shame we don't have any of those traits.
Oh, yeah, the Ghost Planet Demon Hunter show is rocking its way on the supernatural scene.
It's drive time paranormal broadcasting without the driving or the timing. Just go to www.ghostandhumans.com.
Think you know what goes bump in the night? You ain't heard nothing yet.
Each week, we'll be bringing you the best and the worst kept secrets in the paranormal community.
Yeah, us, the Ghost Planet Demon Hunter, Sunday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern.
www.ghostanddemon.com. The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show is beyond the normal broadcast.
Demonology.
Well, speaking of demonology, the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, we just played their...
That was the funniest commercial.
You never heard that one before?
No.
I never heard that one.
It's my new favorite commercial. It's way better than the one I did for the phone line.
Yeah. Do you want to recut yours for the phone line?
No, I hate that thing.
You guys, we're talking with Archbishop James Long of the Old Catholic Church. The website is www.paranormalclergy.com. And I have to tell you, you know what's interesting is even when we went to break, you know, we pushed all the buttons and turned all the knobs and, you know, pulled all the sliders up and down and stuff, and we made it so that, you know, the system would play the break, right? We just kept on going.
Yeah, we just kept talking and arguing and screaming at each other.
That's how interesting we find this this topic.
Well, I agree, James, like we said before, when we were on the break,
low barrier to entry is what we're talking.
This field has a very low barrier to entry. Let's put it like that. I think that's a very good way to put it. And especially, you know, maybe not especially, but in regards to demonology,
that's where it becomes dangerous.
Yeah, exactly.
It's dangerous to you, and it's dangerous to the person you're trying to help.
Mm-hmm. What? James.
Yeah.
Did you hang up on us?
No.
But that sums it up well.
I mean, we did argue a little bit about people who, you know, oh, I'm psychic, and they may or may not be, because there are people who I think have blown me away with the information. I purposely give them no information. They know all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So I know I really, really believe in psychic abilities.
Yeah,
I also believe that there are people out there who maybe they're convinced that they have them, but they certainly haven't proven it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they may. And so what kind of harm can they be doing? So they tell you, okay, this isn't the right fish for you. Go back and, you know, there's another fish in the sea for you. Go get them.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you let one get away and you'll go get another one.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know, you have to wear this dress to that function and not that dress because someone else will be wearing that one. And, you know, okay, so, you know, how harmful? You know, I mean, yeah, okay, you're putting a lot of trust and love into this information and you hope that your great, great, great deceased aunt is telling you some information.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's whatever you give that information that they're giving you.
Yeah.
If you put trust and love into that information and it turns out to be faulty,
it's
because you gave it power, right?
Mm-hmm.
This isn't about you giving any information power.
Well, James already said that.
James is talking about an entity, you know, that is able to make you harm yourself and others.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dangerous at that point.
James.
Yes.
Now, we've covered this pretty extensively as far as the whole area is concerned with people that are coming into this, and I think you got your point across on that, frankly. No, and that's a good thing. I think that's a really good thing.
If somebody's listening and someone is interested in this, maybe somebody does have a calling, but they don't have the resources or whatever to know what to do. What could somebody do? If somebody was really interested in this and wanted to do the lifelong study and the lifelong pursuit and the lifelong spiritual training and having a mentor and everything.
Yeah.
Someone's willing. Where would they go? Who would they call? How would it work? Where can they go to find out more information if this really is their calling?
I think one thing definitely is the folks that I spoke about, Zaphis, Calder, Adam Bly. Myself, I think the first step is to contact someone who really does have a solid reputation, knows what they're doing, and learn about demonology the proper way. And you're right, there is no barrier. There's no barrier to get into the paranormal field. That's why I work very closely with After Dark Paranormal Investigators here in Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
Francis Etting and Tina are the owners of After Dark. And one thing that I like about After Dark, and I'm not a, you know, we're very good friends. That's number one. We really do depend on each other. But one thing that I like about the team is that not everything is haunted. And I respect that because there are some teams that before they walk into the building, oh, it's haunted. Well, how do you know that? Or it's demonic. Well, how do you know that? So I like that about After Dark because everything is not haunted. Show me. Prove it to me. Let me see it.
Mm-hmm.
Then if we feel that something needs to go to the bishop or for my attention, then they bring it to my attention. So you're right. The barrier is low, but I think if there are groups out there who really do want to learn about it, you need to find those groups that have solid reputation. I am not a paranormal investigator. I don't know how to use those gadgets. I don't want to use those gadgets. I've struggled turning my Mac on, let alone the thermo imaging and all that other stuff. Those things just stress me out. So that's not what I do. I don't focus on that stuff. So one thing I will never, if someone calls says I have a ghost haunting in my home, I'm going to contact After Dark. So I need you guys to bring your little equipment and all your toys, and let's see if we can get some evidence here and see where we are. Because there's a difference, obviously, between a demonic infestation and a human haunt.
Well, there's a lot of stuff within. Okay, let's just skip past the first barrier and say that you have a demonic entity in the environment you're in. There's a lot of other things, I think misconceptions and stuff like that. Maybe we can clear a few of these things up.
Sure.
First one, holy water. I'm wondering.
Oh my gosh! I am so glad you mentioned that. First of all, if someone says it's a demonic infestation or even a haunt, the very first thing is I look at the natural elements. What's going on? I try to rule everything out before I'm saying, well, that's haunted. That's haunted. I'll know if it's a demonic infestation before I walk into that house. And the reason is I know is my aunt was very close to me,
mm-hmm.
and she passed away from cancer. Every time I walk into a home that is truly demonically infested, I will get an overwhelming sensation of rose smell. Even people can smell it around me. It's very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And she loved roses. That was her favorite. She loved the roses. She smelled like roses. That was her. I know that I am about to go into someplace that's pretty dangerous. So immediately, I know that she's there with me. But holy water, paranormal groups, please stop telling people to throw holy water around like it's tap water when you're dealing with a demonic infestation. It makes no sense to do that. And I'll tell you why. You have a family who is by themselves. They start hearing noises at whatever hour in the morning. Then they start throwing holy water around. You have a holy object that's going to make contact with an unholy object. There's going to be some type of response. If you're dealing with a demonic entity that is a higher level demon, that actually will attack, go right immediately into oppression, then what is the family going to do when that occurs? Furthermore, there's one group, well, actually there's one demonologist, quote-unquote demonologist slash exorcist fraud, who told the family members, this her husband actually went through possession, going through transient possession, and this guy told them to put a Bible under his bed, bless his side of the bed, put salt and all that other stuff. Well, what an idiot thing to do. A total idiot thing to do. And I'll tell you, it's very simple. That kind of stuff forces the entity to manifest itself and possession occurs. When I go into a home, normally the person is not in possession. What I do is I force the entity by doing several things, then the person becomes possessed. Then I perform the exorcism. So what happens is by doing those things, you're not suppressing the demonic entity, you're forcing it to manifest itself through possession. Now you have a problem at 4 o'clock in the morning where the wife is up and the husband starts screaming in pain and agony, and now he's going through possession. Now what? So people have got to be very careful about the information that they're giving, especially with demonic situations, because you could actually cause harm.
Mm-hmm.
And one very important thing, There are things that I do when I go into a home. If a person claims that they're possessed, I've already done all the I've already done the background. After Dark has gotten involved. They've already given me all the information. I go into the home. I do things that the person has no idea what I'm doing. This will separate those people who have a psychological disorder from those people who are truly possessed. Now, the person has no idea what I'm doing, none. But because I was properly trained and I know what steps to do, that person will then become going to transient possession. That's why you never perform the ritual immediately, because you have to rule out the psychological, the natural elements first.
Okay.
So, like, for example, I will do things, and before I even walk in the door, I've already done two things already, and the person has no clue what I'm doing. But the person will respond, because the person is going into transient possession. That's when I go on to the next step, and the next step, without the person even know. I'm not even doing anything to the person, but I am physically actually doing things while I'm there.
Well, James, can I ask you a question about this?
Sure.
As far as what I'm seeing here, the sequence of things is that you have a demonic entity, in the environment, and if you come there, you go about doing things to make this entity manifest itself through possession, whoever it may be targeted at. Isn't there a way to go around that, though, and try to get rid of this entity without having someone become possessed?
Well, no. The problem is if you're dealing with a demonic infestation, that's different.
Okay.
There are rituals. There is the ritual that you can perform to actually cleanse the home. I'm talking about if the person is actually going through possession, has already been through possession.
Okay. All right.
Possession. So they call me and they say, look, this person is possessed. Here's all the information. Here's what this person is doing. There are signs, and one thing that I don't do, I don't tell people what those signs are. And the reason being is because if I start telling people what the signs are of true possession, then everybody's going to start calling paranormal groups and saying, well, Bishop Long said these signs, and that's what they're having. And so there are some things that trained exorcists don't tell, and there's a reason, such as the things that you do prior to performing the ritual. And so I will know if the person is actually going in and out of possession, transient possession, and that's when I perform the exorcism on the person. Now, if there's no possession, then I would never, ever perform an exorcism on anybody that doesn't need it. It's real important and this is another issue with people who are not properly trained. When they go in and they start immediately performing the ritual without doing these steps to determine if the person is truly possessed or has a psychological disorder, what happens is if you're dealing with someone who has MPD, multiple personality disorder, you then perform an exorcism on this person, and this person is not possessed. You created another personality.
Ah!
Now that is fraud, and a person should be held liable.
That is,
I'm
speechless on that one.
Do you know? I want to get on. I want to go to a tangent real quick, okay? Because obviously,
I don't want to talk about Slurpees again.
One of the things, and this is part of Americana, right? Part of Americana is, of course, the movie The Exorcist, which was a kid. A child, not an adult. Like, an adult, okay, they're going to lose their job and their house and their family, okay, but they're an adult, they can bounce back. A kid is supposed to be defenseless and at the beginning of their life and innocent and things like that. And possession of children, is that as bad as we see in Hollywood? Is that, what's different between that and a possession of an adult?
See, you're asking, the thing is, you're asking an ethical question because you're an ethical human being. The problem is you're asking an ethical question and trying to try to tie that in with an unethical entity.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that demonic entities are cowards, and they will prey on anyone, regardless of the age. That's irrelevant to a demonic entity. What happens quite often, especially with children, is they start seeing things. And many times, a demonic entity can manifest itself as a human apparition. For those paranormal groups out there that are listening, there will always be a flaw, and the flaw is the eyes. You can't see the eyes, and usually the hands as well. There's always a flaw. So many times, if you see a deceased loved one and you don't see the eyes or the hands, you're usually dealing with a demonic entity. Also, with children, they're vulnerable. And so I was dealt with one case, as a matter of fact, where the mother had lost her 5-year-old boy. He was playing outside in the yard, and he got hit by a car. and unfortunately he was killed. Mm-hmm. 2 days later, she was happy, jumping, singing lullabies, and the family called me and said either she's there's something psychological or something else is going on because she keeps saying she sees her son.
Mm-hmm.
So I got involved with the case, and in fact, I do have a full body apparition of her son. The eyes are not there.
Ooh.
And so I had to perform some blessings, et cetera, and I worked with her, got her some counseling, got her through this process because, in fact, it was a demonic entity that was preying on her complete and total depressed state of mind at that time.
But it hadn't gotten to an advanced stage or anything because it was all so fresh and new, and they called you, so it didn't get advanced to where it was, like, possessing her, right?
Well, it was in the second stage of oppression where she was isolating herself from everyone.
Okay.
It was already... The demonic entities, what they'll do is they'll attack your intellect and will. Mm-hmm. So they'll make you begin to think that you're crazy. You know you're seeing things, hearing things, you know there's something there, but you begin to isolate yourself because you don't want to tell anybody for embarrassment, whatever it might be. It really starts to break down your intellect. Your will is the second part of possession, the second stage, which is oppression. Your will, the oppression can mean in several different terms, meaning it could be psychological, physical, it could be sexual, incubus and succubus. And so what that does is it destroys you, breaks you down to the point where you give up. And once you give up, then the possession occurs. One thing is very important to note. The demonic entity, if they possess a person, they possess the person, not the soul.
Mm.
That's very important. So they do not possess the soul. I heard one person who actually claims to be a demonologist said they possess the soul, and that's not true at all. Absolutely untrue. They can possess the soul if the person gives the soul over to the demonic entity, which would be pretty stupid. But nonetheless,
didn't they do that on eBay before?
Actually, they were selling. They were no. You, yes, they were actually selling demons on eBay.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
I don't want one.
I know. I said this was joking. I mean, it's funny, but at the same time, it isn't funny. I did see that a couple of years ago, where it was a man who offered up his soul. And for the highest bidder.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
And people were bidding on it.
That's amazing. People were actually bidding on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know what to say to that.
So,
yeah, what do you do?
I didn't want it.
I got enough pets to deal with around here. I mean, why don't I have a soul running around here, too?
But
apparently there's a ghost in my closet already here at the winery in my bedroom.
And maybe it got bored.
Yeah, about a soul running around here. What the heck's going to happen then, right? Turning it over willingly, that don't make any sense. I don't know anybody who would really say, I don't need
it. Well, I mean, if you're in that physical and emotional stress, maybe you'd see it as a way out. I have no idea.
Is there a point you get to, James?
Project how I would feel in it. Mm-hmm. Just like I was reading an article about the people who jumped, from the towers when
9/11
happened, and people were jumping because they couldn't get down to safety,
mm-hmm.
and I can't even fathom being in such a desperate state.
Mm-hmm.
To jump, and they're like, well, it was filled with smoke, and they couldn't...
Yeah, it's either die, suffocate to death, or burn to death, or just jump and pass out before you hit the ground.
So that's what they were faced with, and I just can't see myself
making
such a decision. So I can't see myself in this kind of a situation and know why anybody would, willingly, give up their soul I can see why you would go down the path of, to... possession, because it's alluring. Like the whole purpose of the demon is there is to trick you and to bring you in, and
mm-hmm.
and he knows, he's been doing this for eons and knows what to do to get you to the point where you give up, and so I can see that, but I can't see the desperation, I cannot mentally put myself into that.
James?
Keep in mind, depression is very powerful.
Yeah.
It's a very powerful state of mind, and when people are utterly depressed, they just, they feel that, I've dealt with a lot of people who, a lot of people with depression for a lot of reasons, whether it be because of marriages falling apart, or the family falling apart, or because they're a gay and lesbian, Paul's media. There are churches out there that are condemning people who are saying those people who commit suicide are going to burn in hell, or those people who remarry are going to burn in hell, or those people who are gay and lesbian are going to be burn in hell. And I would love to have a theological argument with those ass clowns, because I'll tell you what, God, an all-loving, all-caring, all-nurturing God, would never reject one of his children who commit suicide because they're at the lowest state of depression. They are not thinking of their right state of mind. They are truly at the lowest form level of depression, and there is no all-caring, all-nurturing God would turn them away. So that theology of hate, using Christianity as a form of control and hatred, it's old news.
Yeah.
And
wow.
The United States Catholic Church fully, 100% rejects those doctrines, because using Christianity to scare people, using Christianity to control people, it's over. The right-wing conservative movement, who have a stronghold on Christianity as if they own it, my message to you is get off the cross and let Jesus have a try. Because there are enough is enough. Stop using Christianity as a form to scare people. Because it's not. Christ's message is all about love and compassion.
What a way to roll this out. Unfortunately, we're at the bottom. Yeah, we got to go to break here, James. But what a way to, yeah. Because that just mimics me all the time.
The thing that not only startled me but impressed me at the beginning of the hour was the old Catholic Church. And the description of it. The website.
Yes.
www.usocc.org. That's the name of the United States Old Catholic Church's website.
Oh, okay.
ParanormalClergy.com is for the Paranormal Clergy Institute. So it's www.usocc.org.
Oh, that's even
better.
Thank
you very much.
www.usocc.org. The United
USO.cc.org, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
cool. It's United States Old Catholic Church. It's all the initials of that.
Okay, cool.
.org.
Oh, I see.
So usocc.org. And fantastic. Thank you. Hang on the line, though.
Yeah, don't leave us just yet.
Okay. Wow, what an hour. And then we're you know what? We have a special treat. The next half hour, we're going to be talking with Bonnie Ventha.
Yeah, our news.
Who does the news.
Every week here.
So this is going to be exciting, and hopefully it won't be as heavy. But And we're looking forward, Archbishop James Long, to seeing you in 2 weekends in
Mid-South Paranormal Convention.
Yeah, Mid-South Paranormal Convention. That's going to be absolutely fantastic.
Hang on,
Bonnie
line,
Vent,
James. Yes.
Coming up on Ghostly Talk.
Would you like to listen to Ghostly Talk live on your cell phone? Perhaps you have a comment for us or our guests. All you have to do is dial 605-475-8590. When asked for the conference code, dial 555-1081, followed by the pound sign.
Wow, I keep shaking this ball, and all I get is the number 8. Where's the snow? I told my psychic I wanted to know if I was going to win the lottery, and she asked me for the numbers. The death card keeps showing up in this deck. Maybe I should get a reflector on my scooter. I keep dreaming about frogs leaping into my bed. This book says I'm just horny. Having a bad day at the Wheel of Fortune? Karma Cast has answers. Check out karmakast.com for show listings and times. KarmaCast.com is a division of Mayhem Media.
I saw what looked like a figure standing in the figure.
Okay, this is the screen team. We're ready for EVP sweep.
That is weird. These cameras don't do this.
Water supposedly will come off and on in various rooms.
It's that our EMF meter started this going haywire.
You're listening to the number one source for paranormal evidence, brought to you firsthand by real investigators in the field. No hoaxes, no disinformation. You're listening to The Ghost Project.
I found myself face to face with someone or something that was attempting to play with my psyche as well as my physical being.
How sure are you of that?
I'm 100% sure of that.
Thank you. Luke.
And this is Tobin from Quest Research.
Hey Tobin, what do you get when four guys with absolutely no video experience whatsoever decide to produce their own online paranormal TV show?
I don't know. What? Oh wait, I do know. Ghost Diaries, right?
That's right.
You can check us out and get involved at www.questresearch.net. And good thing about being new is that we will only get better.
Ghostly Talk.
All right, this is going to be an interesting way to end the show, I think.
Absolutely.
Two Bonnies, how could you fail?
You can't. You cannot go wrong.
Yeah, that's why I set it up like that. on June 22nd of this year, we talked about it at great length, and there's a memorial on our site to this man, George Carlin. That was the day that George Carlin passed away this year. I'm still kind of in shock over that whole thing. It was a big loss for a lot of us. A lot of us followed his career for many years. I know I did. And when Bonnie came to me with this, who's on the line waiting very patiently with us, she was worried about the message itself, which we're going to read later, a little bit later here in the half an hour. Bonnie contacted with us and said, this is what's happened, And I think Bonnie, I don't know, correct me on this if I'm wrong, but I think I was the one that pushed to talk about this on the show. Am I correct?
Yeah, actually you were, because George Carlin obviously left us with most of the seven words you can't say on television radio.
So when we do read this message, we have a couple of other things we're going to talk about too, but when I do read this message, I'm going to censor it. I'm a professional, right?
And I
can bleep myself to death. It's cool, right? So
I would like to bleep you to death.
We're going to have a bleeping contest.
Get in line.
I love you, Scott.
Get in line.
Right? I love you.
But Bonnie,
Bonnie is a spirit advocate.
Yes.
For the San Diego San Diego Paranormal Research Project.
Yeah.
She does. You've heard her voice.
Bonnie does
doing the news.
Bonnie, and thanks. You know, I never got to thank you personally about that. We love the segment that you've given us to do news. You know, for the news we have at the half point of every show. We really appreciate you helping us out with that.
Oh, you're quite welcome. I've actually been labeled the NPR of the paranormal, which I take as a tremendous compliment.
Absolutely. I love NPR. So I don't know how we want to start this, but, June 22nd, George passed away. We know that. And, let's just hammer through this timeline, I guess, just to get started. The 24th, there was our friends at Periax Radio, they created a small tribute to George Carlin.
I actually created the tribute.
You did that, okay.
One of the things that George Carlin liked to use in his routines was some strange guy named Dave. Well, of course, the owners of Periax Radio are Dave and Tom Jones.
Uh-huh.
And Dave Jones, Parax, was also a huge fan. And so I used a little bit of the of a clip from a George Carlin segment.
Yeah.
And so the way I put it was, did you know that George Carlin used to like to go ghost hunting with Dave? And then, of course, you have a clip of George Carlin, and it actually relates to emergency situations where buildings on fire and everybody wants to go run and see what's going on.
Yeah, I
and
can't.
So George Carlin says something to the effect of, Dave, let's go look at the bodies.
Yeah, and I have that, but unfortunately, I didn't have a chance to edit that. There was a couple words, seven deadly words we're talking about before. There's a couple in there. I'm wondering how we could possibly do this.
We can't. Because we're on air.
Maybe we need to explain a little bit about the process. And, the first question people ask me is, why would they come to you? Well, I do work with celebrities during the day as part of my regular day job. I book celebrities for personal appearances.
Yeah.
So it's not so far-fetched that celebrities would want to contact me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that we had a conversation at a prior Ghostly Talk radio show about Steve Irwin and Nelson Riley. And so this is something that happens to me periodically, and celebrities are really very much the same as the rest of us, especially when it comes to the death process.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get that point across,
this
does indeed happen. It's happened on numerous occasions.
Okay.
So what I'm trying to do is that I realize that, coming out and making these statements that it's like, okay, fine, I'm just supposed to take your word for it. Well, no, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I try and document everything as it's happening, because there does seem to be a process that occurs, and all the connection points seem to happen at precisely the right time in order for me to be able to get these messages delivered.
Okay.
So very briefly going down through the timeline, as you said, George Carlin passed away on the 22nd.
I'm sorry to ask you this right here on the air. Would you have a problem, actually, if we posted this, if we put this timeline up with the archive of the show for people to refer to also? Could they do that?
Actually, I was kind of debating whether to put it up on my website as well. Some of the work that I'm doing.
I'm sorry, I'm not trying to put you on the spot or anything like that, but I just thought about that. I thought it might help people out. I mean, if you want to just put it up on your site.
Yeah, actually, because there's some interesting links in the timeline. One in particular to a YouTube video
that people might want to
go check out.
We'll point that to your site, okay? We'll just point it to your site whenever you want us to, and we can send people over there to your site, all right?
Yeah, it's probably time to post this up now.
Okay.
You know, I like to wait a certain amount of time because, you know, obviously the families are going through, you know, a rough set of circumstances. And the other thing, too, I wanted to mention is that the tone of this message is in George Carlin's public persona, not his private persona. And it also makes no mention of the family, which makes a lot of sense when I went to try and deliver the message to the family, because they're very anti anything like this.
I didn't mean to interrupt you on that. I apologize. I just thought about that and I had to get it off my chest. So no, we can handle that later on. So okay, we started the 22nd, obviously, when he passed away.
Right. We did a little tribute. Had not heard from him at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I was contacted by a reporter from the Globe, which is kind of an odd thing that she contacted me wanting to know if I knew where George Carlin's funeral was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a odd request because I never worked with George Carlin, have no connection with him that I knew about at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, nope, I don't, but I do know a stand-up comedian by the name of Ant, and I do work with him, so one stand-up comedian's going to know another one, right? Maybe he will know.
Mm-hmm.
So I contacted Ant, and he didn't know anything about any funeral arrangements at all. He said, I do know a family friend. And that same person is also a MySpace friend of mine, which is kind of odd because she thinks all of the stuff I do is completely bogus. So why she's a MySpace friend of mine is kind of it's very unusual set of circumstances. So that was on June 25th.
Mm-hmm.
Also on June 25th, a hate monger group put out a YouTube video saying that, you know, hallelujah, George Carlin's going to go to hell. And it's you know, it's a whole lot of hate speech, and they don't like gays, and they don't like anyone who's anti what they believe in. It's really very hateful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so at any rate, contacted Ant. He told me about the family friend, and I still had not heard from George Carlin at this point.
Okay.
So on July 3rd, Lloyd Auerbach announced, the parapsychologist, that he was going to be appearing on The View on July 28th.
Okay.
On July 6th, which is 2 days prior to his appearance on The View, is when I received the channeled message from George Carlin.
Okay.
Now, I don't know. Do you want to go ahead and just read the message right now so people can, or do we want to wait till the end?
We can read it right now. That's fine. Now, mind you guys, I can't. I was going to be funny and try to do it in George Carlin's voice, but I can't do George Carlin's voice.
Not after, and last night. And
yeah, my voice is shot. But regardless, what I'm going to do is, this is the message that you received from George Carlin, correct, Bonnie?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. The date was July 6, 2008. The time you marked was 10:45 a.m. Note, this message was started coming through at 10:45 a.m. This was you speaking here. I was not at
right.
The computer.
Those are my comments up front, just explaining what's going on at the time.
Mm-hmm. You were okay. Well, we can hammer through that. This is where we get into it. Hi, Bonnie. I'm sorry that I barged in on you, but that's just my nature. I really needed to let everyone know that I am completely fine. Have not gone to hell. Yes, I know about that. And what a bunch of BS religion is.
That relates directly back to the hate mongers.
Yeah. Just as I had thought all along, I was not completely sure that I was right, but F-man. This transition thing is pretty cool and has nothing to do with any nuns, priests, or whatever they call themselves. I had always believed in there being something out there that was greater than me. That part is true. This transition thing is a breeze. I have not laughed so hard in a long time. darn, I'll even censor that.
For editing.
Yeah. Darn, I did well, even if I do say so myself. I hope that I wake up a few. I woke up a few people. It turns out that was all by design. It was amazing to view my life. I took no prisoners, and F them if they can't see what is truly real. People are really stupid. And that is George Carlin all day long right there. He always said that over and over again, his thing. And this is just me speaking, by the way, that people are just effing stupid. He used to say that over and over again. In case you are wondering, you are gathering clients. I was allowed this brief visit as it will be used for your benefit later on. I am sorry that we never met in life. I think that would have been one hell of a talk.
Even I had to sugarcoat things a little when I performed.
Thanks so much for doing this for me, and please know that all is well with you too. All things ahead, George, end time, 11 a.m. Sorry, I'm half asleep right now. I'm really fried. I did the best I could with that. I think you get the point, though. That's what Bonnie
received.
Well,
there's actually some humor in there, too, that until I started delivering the message, I didn't realize it. When he said about, you know, it's too bad that we didn't meet in life, that would have been one hell of a conversation. Oh, yeah, he would have chewed my butt for whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of a, you know, there again, you don't know the humor until after you start doing the research on delivering the message and realize that the family wants no part of it. And, you know, George Carlin did not have any belief in what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me put it this way. I wouldn't say that's true. I would say that he had a big hate on for fake mediums. Let's put it that way.
Well, I think we do, too.
Nobody has a bigger hate on than I do, because I'm constantly fighting all the crap that everybody else does.
Yeah,
bogus.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I have to prove it endlessly, you know, so that you know that you're looking at something that really is a legitimate thing, and it's a legitimate process, and it does indeed happen.
Mm-hmm.
So to continue on our timeline,
mm-hmm.
I sent that message that you just read in all its glory, mm-hmm. Over to Lloyd Auerbach, who's taken kind of an interest in my work anyhow, just,
okay.
You know, like keep me apprised of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I sent the message to him, as I was instructed to do by my guidance. And on July 8th, Lloyd Auerbach did indeed appear on The View, and mm-hmm. it's up on his MySpace. It's also in my videos and stuff like that if you want to take a look at his appearance on The View.
Okay.
But the first half an hour of the show was actually James von Prague hawking his new book. And Lloyd wound up being at the end. Jason mm-hmm. and Grant were in the middle. Lloyd mm-hmm. was at the end.
Uh-huh.
So long story short, Joy Behar says basically that she had asked James von Prague whether or not he had heard from George Carlin. And James von Prague's response back to Joy Behar was, no, he wouldn't come to me because he was not a believer. So Joy Behar then says, what do you think, Lloyd? And Lloyd gets this very strange look on his face and just says, oh, you'd be surprised.
Oh.
Because Lloyd already had the channeled message from George Carlin.
Mm.
But obviously he doesn't want to say anything bad about anybody on national television.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to open up yet another conversation because there isn't time for it anyhow. You know, you know how it is when you got short segments.
Yeah.
And so he just kind of rolled his eyes and went, oh, you'd be surprised. So if you go look at the video, look at the expression on his face, and you'll understand exactly what was going on with that.
Mm-hmm.
So we have for you to play, mm-hmm. Scott.
Yep.
This is Lloyd Auerbach's response. I actually was on another radio show with him, and I got his reaction to receiving that message and what happened to him on The View. So if you want to go ahead and play that.
Here we go.
One of the things that people have been kind of asking me about is the interesting reaction you had when Joy Behar asked you about George Carlin.
Yeah, you know, well, because you know, because you sent it to me, you sent me something, a message you had believed was channeled from George Carlin. And when I read it, my reaction was, yeah, you know, I could see George Carlin saying this. And I've shown it to some folks. Other folks, I didn't have it to show to them, and it would not have been appropriate to pull that out during that short segment of the show. But when she mentioned Carlin, I was going to say, you know, she'd say, well, George Carlin wouldn't go to anybody because he's not a believer. I'd say, well, actually, that's not true. And the funny thing is that if somebody's not a believer and they suddenly find themselves not dead, in other words, they're in a different state of existence, I don't find it unusual that they would want to express that. You know, somebody like George Carlin, I could see, would say, okay, I was wrong. I mean, somebody like the Amazing Randy would not want to speak to anybody because he would never have been wrong even after death.
True.
But somebody like Carlin, I mean, I could see him, and this has happened before, actually, with other people in the history of mediumship, they certainly would say something because they're curious themselves. And he was certainly curious about the world.
And there we go. That was the clip, Bonnie.
Nope. So the timeline still continues on. You would think that it would be done at that point. But no siree. I received an interview request from a show called Paranormal Talk with Captain Jack on July 16th. And during the process of booking that show with their producer, found out that Captain Jack actually had a connection with George Carlin also.
Oh, really?
And Captain Jack had sat and had lunch with George Carlin and was trying to convince him to co-host on one of his paranormal shows.
Oh, really?
Which I thought, how weird is that? You know, why would George Carlin want to co-host on a paranormal show?
Mm-hmm.
And I looked on this today, and unfortunately it's been taken down, but I do have a screenshot of it, so hey, we still have our proof.
Mm-hmm.
But I found it on July 20th. I'm not sure when it was posted. The George Carlin website is now down. But what was posted up on the website, actually I think this was kind of to settle the thing with the hate monger group, but it also helped me as well, because it says the seven famous words, "We love you and we miss you, George Carlin."
Mm-hmm.
"From George's family and friends, we know we all miss him and we want to tell him how much we loved him, but he gets the last word." Well, little did they know. He got the last channeled word, too. And he says, we're getting low on time here, but he says, "Upon my death, I wish to be cremated." And he says, "I want no public service." So there never was a funeral because the hate mongers were going to protest his funeral. There never was a funeral. That he wanted no religious service of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
But the last paragraph, and this actually is between him and his attorney, this is part of his last will and testament, it's signed by him on 5/1/1990. But it says the exact nature of the gathering, because he wanted a gathering, should be determined by my surviving family, wife and daughter. It should be extremely informal. They should play rhythm and blues music, and they should laugh a lot. Vague references to spirituality, secular, will be permitted. So there's that little, tiny little window of, I thought maybe there was a higher power, but the rest of it's still BS.
Mm-hmm.
There's that little statement right there, and there's no way I would have access to that. Like I say, that would be with next of kin and with his attorney.
Well, Bonnie, I have to say, as far as... This is a testament to what we say about, even in ghost hunting, document, right?
Yeah.
Which we don't do enough of. But this timeline, when I went through it the first time, I was like, wow, this is really detailed, in-depth, and it's really impressive to see this. And I'm really happy to know that Georgia is still, he's still laughing. He's still doing his thing. And,
oh, yeah.
I am like solid goosebumps, and trust me, it's like 82 degrees. I live in San Diego. It's 82 and it's still sunny. I know, you can hate me.
No.
Yeah, we're suffering the closest thing to a monsoon Michigan has ever.
We made it through the show, though. We didn't lose. We thought we were going to lose power or something like that.
So, but wow. No, it sounds like, because that's immediately, you know, what Lloyd had said.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, I thought, you know, when we were reading this, I read this on my email, and I'm like, it sounds like him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Lloyd said. It sounds like it. It sure is plausible.
Yeah.
You know, yet you're like starting your day, you're taking a shower, you had just gotten out of the shower, you were, you know, busy, you were doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And somehow
I was tuning in to check on a friend of mine who's dying of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So I had actually, like, opened up the channel at that point, which is why he's saying, I'm sorry, I barged in. Because I was actually opening up, trying to tune in to somebody else. And he just came booming in at that point.
Absolutely amazing. It's so good to hear he's doing well.
Unfortunately,
we are out of time, but oh my
I think we got through it though, Bonnie. I think we cranked through it.
You know, it goes by quick.
Well, you know, I really want to thank you, Bonnie, for taking the time to discuss this. I know I was like, I really want to talk about this on the show if we can.
Well, I know you guys are fans, and you know, and I was. Yeah. I don't know of anyone who wasn't a George Carlin fan. I mean, that just was incredible.
Yeah. There's a bunch of hate mongers, but there's like, what, four of them?
Yeah, there's four of them. We can, you know, whatever. They can deal with that.
Thank you so much for this message. This is a lot of hope and a lot of love in this message. I have to say, George was.
I hope it brings comfort to everyone who's lost a loved one. That, you know, they truly are okay. And here's some detailed information, not just, you know, Aunt Mary's okay.
Right. Exactly. I mean, this is amazing. And thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for the Paranormal News every week.
Yeah, thanks for helping us out. I really appreciate it.
Or the website of your group is www.sdparanormal.com, San Diego.
Or you can just go to bonnievent.com and we'll transfer you over there.
Or bonnievent.com. And so you do a lot of hard work. I appreciate it. Hang on the line.
Yeah, hang on the line for 1 second, Bonnie. Don't leave us just yet. I don't know how we got through this show.
I don't know, but I haven't had Diet Pepsi the entire show. I'm sorry.
I'm surprised you're not hunched over right now in fetal position.
I haven't had that DP drink the entire show. So I'm going to make this really quick. I want to thank
everybody. Well, we've already been playing copyright. We played my Motorhead tune. We're going to play another one.
Well,
too,
that's true.
So whatever.
I have to say thank you to Archbishop James Long. We'll see him in 2 weeks, 2 weekends at the Mid-South Paranormal Conference up in Louisville, Kentucky in 2 weekends. I have to thank Keith H., who's putting on.
Hopefully he's not drowned
Mid-South
yet.
Mid-South, and if it hasn't whisked away in the water.
Water.
So we'll see him in 2 weekends at the Mid-South. And, of course, the Mothman Festival is coming up this upcoming weekend.
Oh, yeah.
In,
time to start hammering for getting ready for that thing now. Yeah.
So I have to thank Jeff Wamsley for coming out and preparing us for that. You guys, thank you everybody for listening to Ghostly Talk. We know that you can listen to anything, but we're glad we're on your iPods and we're on your radio and we're on your computer every single week, and we really appreciate it. So we're not doing a show next week or the week after. Of course, that'll all be on our website at www.ghostlytalk.com, but we will put up some things that we get at these conventions and festivals that we're going to be at. You guys, this has been Doug.
This has been Scott L.
And I'm still Bonnie.
See you in a couple weeks.
God bless Lemmy, and God bless George Carlin.